Hare Krishna. We have two questions from Gopi Chandra. Interesting questions. One of them is about slavery in Vedic culture, and the other one is about animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices, I responded to sometime earlier. In any case, his references are from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, in which there are references to both of these things. And his questions are, well, was slavery common and was animal sacrifices common? From my reading, I've rarely come across, I can't really remember details of human sacrifices. I think Mahabharata is one that comes to mind, and then what the details of that were. Well, it may be, as is often the case in Shastra, a repetition of the same one which is being mentioned in Bhagavatam. But in any case, by comparison to when we read about horse sacrifices, particularly other types of fire sacrifices, we see that the human sacrifice is very rare. We do see human sacrifice in the fifth canto, but that's not really something that's Vedic. It seems that that was more something that was concocted by those thugs to please Mother Kali, and it wasn't really a, say, high-class a sacrifice. It was a phenomenon, though, that was going on in India, and that the British, one of the things that the British dealt with and put a stop to when they came here. But it seems that that type of activity was something that one would say fell out of the sphere of a proper Vedic sacrifice. More some kind of tamasic, tantric, and speculated process. On the other hand, we do see so many other references to sacrifices, and we should keep in mind that in Vedic sacrifices, something that Srila Prabhupada repeats often, the idea is that you can take the life of the animal if you can give it a higher life. Similarly, one would be led to think that one can take the life of a human being, of a living entity, if he's actually given a higher birth, if he's given a better position. So sacrifice in that case doesn't particularly mean murder, but it really means transition to a higher situation, a higher destination. Why do people do it? Why do people eat meat? Why are there sacrifices to Goddess Kali to facilitate meat eating? Because there are some people who are willing to go to those lengths in order to achieve certain end, and there are certain devatas or demigods that are willing to accept those types of offerings or those types of sacrifices. If we see human sacrifice, we also see that there are examples where living entities are sacrificing themselves. For instance, whereas the demon Vitter was willing to cut his head off and offer it into the fire to Lord Shiva. So that's also a human sacrifice. But hardly something that goes by a standard Vedic practice. So, but it's few and far between. Therefore, the answer is it's a rare practice, something that's rarely done. And when we look at, for instance, the Shoka, Ashvatava, Gvalambam, Sanyasa, Palapatakam, what are the forbidden activities of Kali Yuga? When mentioning the two sacrifices, the horse sacrifice and the animal sacrifice, and the cow sacrifice, there's no mention of human sacrifice. That's, I take it, because it was so uncommon. It was something that was so rarely performed and rarely done. As far as slavery, was slavery a common thing? Slavery meaning that someone was able to purchase someone else. It seems that that was there. Obviously, the example is there in the Bhagavatam. But what does slavery mean? We have a certain connotation of slavery in our modern history. That is that people are abused, misused, taken advantage of, no concern for their welfare, their health. They are sexually, physically, and in so many other ways misused. And since you buy them, then you can dispose of them at will. That would not be the slavery of Vedic culture. Slavery of Vedic culture means that that slave or that person, again, becomes someone, a member of the family, and is properly taken care of and looked after, and not subject to abuse, but not given freedom. And then when we talk about not giving freedom, then we should also recall how Srila Prabhupada defines what in the Varnashram society the Shudra's position is that they're also not just given equal freedom to the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmins. They're designated as being servants of those higher classes. They're not given money. They're not given the freedom to purchase and do things, but rather they work for a master, and that master feeds them, gives them the clothes that they need, gives them the housing that they need, and that's all. So in that sense, although on one side we can call it a slave, on the other side you can call it a servant, there's very little difference, seems like, between the slaves and the Vaishyas, except for the fact that there may not be a transaction of money taking place. But both of them are servants to a subordinate, to a higher authority. However, the slavery also seems to be rarely mentioned, and therefore, in answer to Gopichanda's question, it is also rare. Hare Krishna.